Obamagate limps into this week, supported by Trump allies. Meanwhile, US deaths from COVID-19 are approaching 100,000. Seems like an unnecessary distraction, but I guess that's kind of the point. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Firstly this week, this ongoing feud between Trump and former President Barack Obama. Trump allies continue to push Obamagate, despite a shallow understanding of what it even means. They're using a leaked email from Susan Rice as some kind of proof, despite the fact the email actually proves the exact opposite of what they're claiming. Trump himself claims Obama's crimes are obvious to everybody. That's great. I just wish he'd explain them a little bit clearer to us.
Greatness is a crime in his mind. So anyone who's great and who's good and who's smart is criminal. And if they're honest, they're even more criminal.
And if they happen to be of a certain, melanin count, I suppose that might factor in as well.
Well, they must have been born outside the United States, of course.
Trump needs an enemy to distract from his own problems, always has. But is Obama really a guy he wants to invite comparisons with? I mean, the former president still has popularity power, and he's going to be throwing a lot of that behind the Biden campaign.
That's true. This is an interesting distraction, because the more he says about Obama, the more it helps Biden. He should lay off Obama, because what he does is he angers the Obama supporters who come out in large numbers to defeat him. So I don't know what his game is here, because he doesn't get any credits from his supporters for this. They're already on his side, and they don't need any additional distractions for that. I think this is just the distraction, and the more he can distract, the better. He's tried to pin this tail on every donkey, including the FBI chief and his successor, and each time it has failed.
Steve Linick, the State Department Inspector General, fired by Trump while Linick was personally investigating Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, looks to me like Trump world once again removing any checks and balances on their power to make unilateral decisions. And once again, those checks and balances helpless in the face of the Mad King. What's happening?
Well, first of all, the inspectors general are part of Congress. The congressional oversight laws allow the Congress to insert nonpartisan investigators in every agency to determine things that the Congress needs to know about. Senator Proxmire was very strong on this, that we need to know about the overspending in the Defense Department. Like, we can't do that ourselves, so we can use surrogates. The presidents also have felt the need to rein in these bureaucracies because sometimes they weren't doing what the president had directed them to do. This president is averse to criticism. And this particular case, from what I've heard, this was a very obnoxious investigator appointed by Trump who actually was doing his job. Now, there could be no bigger moral gap in this administration than to do your job. As a matter of fact, I believe he was the guy who went up and testified during the hearings against Trump on impeachment that he had correspondence and the like that would link Biden to the Ukraine. When he did finally come up with something, it was all news and none of it was original. So when this dog got out of the kennel, he just didn't know who he was going to bite next.
And just briefly, I just wanted to touch on this one. Linick was also investigating an emergency declaration that allowed the Trump administration to circumvent Congress and sell weapons to Saudi Arabia. I'd love to do a longer sort of chat on Saudi Arabia at some point, but is this one likely to just now fall by the wayside?
Well, it's going to be hard to resurrect that one, because the Congress, overwhelmingly, I believe 99 of the 100 members of the Senate, voted a resolution not to sell any weapons to Saudi Arabia. This is an important thing for the president, though, to skirt that, because his business dealings include hotels, golf courses, and things like this. Who knows? He may be, have a future in Saudi Arabia. he seems to keep moving south into warmer territories. So the kingdom of Saudi Arabia means a lot to him. It's a financial escape route, and it may be a personal escape route.
Look, speaking of these sorts of things, Texas Congressman John Ratcliffe now looking to advance to the position of Trump's top intelligence advisor. He'd previously been nominated and withdrawn from the role, and even Republicans have expressed doubts over his experience. Democrats, of course, worried as Trump, as a Trump ally, he will manipulate intelligence sources to political ends. Any thoughts?
Well, my biggest thought about this is, why does he want to step into this fire now? Is he anxious about being reelected? And he feels leaving this will give him more cred with various agencies after the election? Because this is not the time for a congressperson to give up their seat. I'm not too concerned about what he does or doesn't do in this time, because actually, we haven't seen the president's press secretary. We certainly won't see his intelligence advisor.
COVID-19, the U.S. death toll is approaching 100,000. Unnecessary death by unnecessary death, even as we speak. States are looking to reopen. Doctors are looking for a vaccine. Where are we?
Just where you said we are. Nowhere. Remember when 60,000, the president was saying, oh, I'm sure we'll fall short of that, maybe 50,000. Now it's approaching 100,000. He's not talking about it. As a matter of fact, he's not even coming up on the rostrum anymore, because every time he does, there's a bigger and bigger gaffe. And all those gaffes are now being put together in little news releases by his opponents. And those are people from the liberal establishment as well as the Lincoln group that want a president who's a real Republican and not someone who lies all the time. So every time he tells a lie, it has now become an ad, a political ad against him that he can't control. So he needs distractions so he can come up on the rostrum and talk about them and not anything of substance.
And Trump claimed this week to be taking the so-called miracle drug, anti-malaria treatment, hydroxychloroquine. Now, this is one he's been pushing in spite of doctors saying it will do no medical good. There's no registered medical good behind this one, and puts users at risk of harmful side effects. Now, even for Trump, this is bizarre behavior. Some have questioned whether he's taking the drug at all. And rather amusingly, when asked whether Trump was telling the truth, White House Press Secretary Kayleen McEnany said, if it were any other president of the United States, the media would take him at his word, which I'd say is exactly the point. Ed, any thoughts?
Well, he's trying to cover his lower side. Again, he said this drug was good and it was going to be helpful. Now he's claiming to take it himself. He would be scared to death if he read those opinions or heard those opinions about what that drug can do to you, particularly if you're overweight and have hypertension. This drug is known to be very bad for people with hypertension. So if he's taking aspirin, I would be surprised.
Well, good thing, according to his physician, I think he's in the best medical health of any U.S. president ever, which is quite a relief.
That's hard to believe. Obama was a basketball player, and you wouldn't want to go one-on-one with him, even if you're a member of the NBA. So this is a little hard to believe.
More than 36 million Americans have filed unemployment claims over a recent eight-week span. Could be looking at an unemployment rate of 20% in July. Despite this, Republicans adamant about not extending or expanding benefits. What's going on?
Well, this is a lose-lose for them. If they extend the benefits, I mean, there'll be millions of people not even seeking employment come election time, because these benefits go for 36 to 50 months. So if I were on unemployment now and had a good fishing boat and a good fishing rod and a case of beer, I would not be looking for work.
And who? The World Health Organization, in the midst of this global pandemic, Trump is threatening to make the US funding freeze to the organization permanent. Now, this may be a non-starter, but there are fears that a vacuum created by the US in the interim could be filled by China, allowing China to exert more influence in future. What's your feeling on this one?
That's exactly what's happening. The Chinese, I've already said they're going to give $2 billion to the organization, which would cover the U.S. share. They are moving in very deliberately. They, behind closed doors, they've ousted the president of the organization because he was one of the people who wanted more investigations, much like Trump, of what the Chinese had done. So I think this organization will be very much crippled almost no matter what happens. The United States in or out, the next president of the United States will bring them back in. The World Health Organization now is like nuclear disarmament. You got to have it.
I did want to talk China, particularly in regards to us here in Australia this week. Australia has been a key voice in pushing for an independent investigation into the origins of COVID-19, putting us, of course, in opposition with China. We've already seen talk of steep tariffs on Aussie barley. How worried should we be heading into this fight with the world's number one emerging superpower, Ed?
Well, we should be concerned. I wouldn't say worried. Barley is not exactly a big product, but we should be concerned. This is a shot across the bow. What it should do is wake us up, not just to the Chinese dilemma, but the dilemma we have in this country of having one or two products and Chinese students supporting our economy. This is the time to diversify the economy. And if the Chinese hurt us a bit, we should get in training and do better. I wouldn't flinch about this. I think 60 countries are on our side. Taking the lead might have been a mistake. It should have been a coalition, which we were part. But China has to be let know that they have not played fairly here with the rest of the world.
Although Chinese state media has to say, and I do greatly enjoy this one, it seems that Australia, this giant kangaroo that serves as a dog of the US, will hit a deadlock with China on trade disputes in sectors like coal and beef. Hopefully the US will compensate it. Now, it's hard to see where they're wrong. Australia has always gone that extra mile in terms of allying itself with American global interests, even when other allies have backed out. We've needed to be, but with the likes of Trump in charge, can we rely on that compensation?
Well, remember, we were the leaders in the Pacific Trade Agreement, which is a trade agreement that would be a trade agreement of all the Asian nations to counter the effects of China. The United States didn't want any part of it, but now they seem to want to be part of this. I think China, the best way to deal with China is collective action, so they can't put one nation against another. And I'm very surprised, and I think happy, that India, a very big nation and a growing nation, is bulking up and saying, we want to know what's going on in China. We don't mind taking a few hits from China. The Japanese will step forward too. I think this may be the move that we need to get a real Pacific trade agreement that stops the advances of China across the world.
And election 2020, mail-in voting is continuing to be insanely divisive. Trump has lashed out at plans to roll out further mail-in voting in Michigan and Nevada and threatened to hold up federal funding if they want to go down this voter fraud path. Trump said earlier this year postal voting would spell the end of Republicans, saying you'd never have a Republican elected in this country again. Can the GOP run a Democratic campaign about how badly they need to suppress votes? I mean, how long is it before we see the legislation to get armed brown shirts standing outside every voting center to make sure everybody votes correctly?
The Constitution gives the power to the states to organize and conduct elections within the framework of the Constitution, even setting the voting age. The voting age in Georgia is 18 and 21 in California. So Trump can jump up and down, yell all he wants, but he cannot control this. And if he tries to tamper with sending or taking aid away from a state, he just gets more votes, they're Democratic and Republican, against him. This is a lose, lose, lose. Furthermore, many of his supporters are in rural areas where they can't get to a polling place. So they have been the biggest users of postal ballots. It's just now spreading to the urban areas. So Trump could lose in this one if his own people don't have the capacity to get to the polls. Urban areas, the polls are usually two blocks away, but in rural areas, they're 10 miles away.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast. Maybe drop us a review if you're feeling generous. And you can find us as well on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.